The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, do your own interview the way that you want to do it. You're not my editor. Buzz off. I mean, I don't know. You want to go yell at Nick Fuentes? I'll give you a cell. Call him.
Megyn Kelly did something great, I think. This week, she brought in Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson separately, put them in front of an audience, and asked them about their feud, as well as Nick Fuentes, who obviously is in the middle of all of it. And Tucker Carlson kind of exploded on stage over it, and I think he kind of exposed himself as well. Take a look.
Nick Fuentes has said a long list of very vile things.
Big time, including attacking my dad, which was the most vile of all, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I personally have watched videos of him questioning the Holocaust, likening it to baking cookies in the oven, and there's no way you could have gotten to 6 million, seems to be his theory. He seems to think that we've way overstated the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. He's ripped on poor Usha Vance in the most offensive terms, which so what do you say to those people? Say, why didn't you raise any of that?
You know, do your own interview the way that you want to do it. You're not my editor. Buzz off. I mean, I don't know. You want to go yell at Nick Fuentes? I'll give you a cell. Call him and go sit and yell at him and feel virtuous or whatever. That's up to you. I got the same thing with Putin. Why aren't you yelling at him? Okay, why? So I can show that I'm a good person? I care about what my wife thinks, my children think, and God thinks, and that's it. I don't need to prove that I'm a good person to you. You may think I'm a terrible person. Okay, I'm just doing my thing, which is I want to understand what people think, and I'm committed to that, and if you don't like it, don't watch.
That's the problem with Tucker Carlson's response is it is completely disingenuous, and honestly, I'm sick of saying it's anything other than that. He says in this that his job is just to see what people think. He just wants to get to the bottom of what they believe. But the problem with that is Tucker has always been known for decades at this point for being the person who can ask hard questions, who can really turn up the heat if he wants to. In fact, he's done it this year. I mean, this isn't just in the past. As an independent, away from Fox News or CNN or all the other places he's worked, he brought in Ted Cruz. That's one example from this year. He brought in Ted Cruz, was very fiery. It was probably one of his most famous podcasts of the last couple years. And again, I'm not a huge defender of Ted Cruz, but how can you be so fiery, so intense with Ted Cruz and best buds with Nick Fuentes? That is insane. I think that's what is disingenuous. If Tucker was never intense with anyone and he just gave them a platform to say their opinions, then I guess that would be fine. Like, that wouldn't be a show I would want to watch. I think journalism is, to a certain degree, trying people's beliefs, seeing what they believe, and then playing devil's advocate, or even imposing your own beliefs on them, seeing how they respond to that. So I don't think it'd be a good show, but at least it would be consistent. But Tucker is not consistent. You know, that would be his own little niche. That's not who he is. We've known that for decades at this point. He invites people on, and the ones he disagrees with, he asks difficult questions to, and the ones he agrees with, he asks softball questions to. That seems pretty clear at this point. That's why people are saying he's sympathizing with Nick Fuentes. Because if you didn't, why are you not asking difficult questions? Do we really think that if Ted Cruz had openly praised Joseph Stalin during their interview, that they would have not focused on that? Of course they would have, and they should, because that'd be a crazy thing for Ted Cruz to say. But when Nick Fuentes does that, it's glossed over. No one cares. They don't go back to it. They don't talk about it. In fact, they didn't talk about anything controversial, practically, from Nick Fuentes' past. The worst part of this interview, though, was not that, actually. Tucker had a really good response to what I'm about to show you. Everything he says is 100% right. The problem is he obviously does not actually believe any of it.
As for Mamdani, I mean, you know, there are a lot of things to say. I won't go on about it, but I just found it, speaking of Israel taking over the conversation, this is a guy who said in public and then defended his statement that we're going to tax whites more because they're white.
Yeah.
And nobody cared. They're like, oh, but he doesn't have the right views on Israel. What? Again, be quiet about Israel. I don't care. I don't have to care. I'm not bad for not caring. So shh. What I care about is my country.
I don't think he has the right views on Israel.
I don't think he does have the right views on Israel. But I don't care about his views on Israel because we're not in Israel. We're in the United States. And he said, I'm going to tax white people more because they're white.
It's so rich coming from Tucker. And I totally agree with him, by the way. Everything he says is fantastic. But if you look at Tucker's show over the last 6 months, how many shows do you think he has talked about Israel versus how many he's talked about Mamdani? And I looked, he has talked about Zohran Mamdani one time. One time. If you look up on X, for all of its problems, it does have some problems. If you look up, one of the great things it has is you can just look up people's names and how many times they've talked about something. The only time on X that you can find it is from this interview, from that clip I just showed you. He does not talk about Zohran Mamdani ever. He's talked about him once, and he's talked about Israel dozens of times. Again, I don't have a problem if you talk about Israel. If that's one of your things that you like to do, you can do that. But don't go on the Megyn Kelly show and in front of everyone say, stop talking about Israel. With Tucker Carlson's crazy laugh. That was my impersonation of that. And say that we should have been talking about Zohran Mamdani. Because, dude, you have one of the largest podcasts, conservative podcasts in the world, and you didn't do that. So, disingenuous, I don't believe you. What he's saying there, absolutely right. If you're an American, purport to be America first, but you talk about Israel every day, you're not America first. It's something I've been saying forever. That's why Nick Fuentes, who goes, his show I think is called America First. I call total BS on that. He barely talks about America. He talks about foreign governments the whole time. He talks about non-Americans the whole time. He never even talks about the left that is trying to destroy America. Again, you don't have to focus on one thing the whole time. I'm not saying you can never talk about the right or people you disagree with on the right. Obviously, I'm doing that today on the show. But if you look at my show, I talk about people on the left as well because I actually care, because I actually am America first. If I wasn't, I would talk about Israel all day. You're entirely focused on a different country. That's what Tucker Carlson has done if you look at his show the whole time. And as someone pointed out, the online conservative commentators are 1,000% more interested right now in foreign politics than the average American. That's the other discrepancy I think we're seeing here. The average American hardly cares about foreign politics because it doesn't materially affect them. I personally believe it does affect Americans, but it's difficult to see the concrete evidence of how that's going to affect you on a daily basis. The average American, the polling is clear on this, they care about the economy, they care about crime, they care about immigration. And you could say immigration is maybe tied into foreign policy, fair enough. So you could say immigration between us and Mexico, right? Maybe. So foreign policy with Mexico. Foreign policy, though, as a whole, comes in at like number 5 or 6. And if we're being honest, people don't vote on 5 or 6 issues. They vote on 1 or 2 every time. And usually that 1 or 2 includes the economy. So I find it very hypocritical for Tucker in that to say that we need to focus on our own country when he didn't spend any of this election cycle talking about anything but foreign countries. And that brings me to another commentator who is now talking about foreign affairs a lot, Brett Cooper. Brett Cooper is going viral right now because she came out with this video talking about how Ted Cruz was wrong for calling Nick Fuentes a Nazi and how Tucker Carlson needs to be praised and that we're all censoring him. Here is what she said.
You are so blinded by your ridiculous, insane hatred of Tucker Carlson that you cannot see how irresponsible and hypocritical you are being. I mean, these tweets from Ted Cruz, I'm going to read you next, are a great example of this. So just a month ago, he tweeted this. He said, they don't kill you because you're a Nazi. They call you a Nazi so they can kill you. Political violence is a left-wing phenomenon. Enough is enough. We need to shut it down. And then in response to Fuentes and Tucker this week, he tweeted this. Trump's bombing of the Ayatollah's nuclear facilities made the little Nazi mad. Good. So now you're turning around and you're calling somebody that you don't like a Nazi. You're doing this out of blind rage because you're so angry that the conservative base's attitudes are rapidly changing that Nick Fuentes is getting national attention, and so you have turned around it in response. You are compromising your own values in anger, which is such a dangerous precedent to set. And unfortunately for you guys, yes, the attitudes are changing. So again, it makes sense why this group is incredibly frantic.
I just have to be blunt on this. This is a horrible take from Brett Cooper. Yes, we are upset that Fuentes is getting national attention because he's a horrible person. It's okay to just admit, yes, we're mad. Yes, we're upset. I'm fine with that. Yes, I am not happy that a Hitler lover is becoming more mainstream. And I still think he is a tiny fringe, but he is becoming more mainstream. When you're on one of the largest conservative political podcasts, as he was with Tucker Carlson, you become more mainstream. Again, I don't think we should censor him, but I'm upset that we're propping him up. But first and foremost, we're not calling a random dude a Nazi. Ted Cruz didn't do that. And again, I hate to be a Ted Cruz defender. Like, I don't really have a strong opinion of Ted Cruz. Love him or hate him. I think he's done some good things. I think he's done some bad things. But I'm just saying, I'm not like this Ted Cruz lover. I've never met the guy, right? Heard him speak once at a conference. He was fine. He's very politician. He's not really my style. But in any case, me and Ted Cruz and all the other people, we're not calling a random dude a Nazi. We are calling Nick Fuentes a Nazi. He is a self-proclaimed Nazi. He has said Israel does not have the right to exist. He said that he loves Hitler. He said he's on Team Hitler. He said he emulates Hitler. He's joked about genociding Jews. He has been very serious about genociding blacks. He's a Nazi. Like, I'm not saying it as a slur. I'm saying it quite literally. That's what he is. And I have to say to the Fuentes crowd out there, and I got to say, like, Brett Cooper's kind of included in this right now, even though I don't think she's necessarily bought into his ideology. But anyone out there defending him right now, why do you like Fuentes, but then simultaneously get so offended when you're called Nazis? I've seen this a lot on X. I've seen this all over, that you call them a Nazi and they get offended, but they follow Fuentes. So, like, that's his whole ideology. It's literally the same as if we said to them, saying, do you love Hershey's? And they say, yeah, we love Hershey's. And then we call them a chocolate lover and they freak out. And they're like, where did you come up with that? Why are you following that slur? I was like, well, you said you love Hershey's, so we assumed you like chocolate. No, you're a leftist. That's what a leftist does. No, you're following Fuentes. He is a Nazi, self-proclaimed. I'm not putting words in his mouth. Brett Cooper is wrong on this. I appreciate what she said on art, culture, how she cares about that, because that matters a lot. And for a long time, conservatives were not focused on that, and we were losing because of it. So I'm not trying to be anti-Brett Cooper on this, but she needs to stay in that realm. I mean, I just do not think she understands politics or what the conservative movement is going through right now. And I hope she'll change her mind and admit how wrong she was on this. Before we get back to the news, guys, the progressive left is a cult. I talk about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about some crazy, crazy stories, some stories you may know and maybe don't know, and I can't talk about because of big tech, but it's right there in the book. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. The Senate is in a fiery debate right now, guys. The question is, should they pass a bill to take away Congress's paychecks while the government is in shutdown or not? And surprisingly, Rand Paul actually came out against it. Here is Senator Kennedy proposing the bill.
But in 2013, President Obama did the same thing that I'm doing now. They were in a shutdown, and President Obama supported legislation that said, if you don't open up government by this certain date, then you're going to lose your paychecks. And guess what? Members of Congress had an epiphany. And they found religion, they had a Damascene moment, and they opened up government. And that's all this bill will do. I'm not trying to grandstand. I wasn't going to bring this bill. When I got back here Monday, I heard all the rumors, like everybody else, that we were close. And I hope we are close, but we're not close enough. And so I'll offer these bills tomorrow, and people can vote yay or they can vote nay. But
seems perfectly logical and reasonable to me. But Rand Paul openly objects to it on TV. I think he's wrong. Here's what he said.
Right to object. I think it's time that instead of closing the government down further, that we begin to open up government. What I will offer is legislation that instead of closing government down further, begins to pay those who are working, pays our soldiers, pays our air traffic controllers, pays everyone who's showing up for work. I think this should become a permanent feature of our government. I think it's disruptive. I think it's unfair. And I think it's wrong that we don't pay the workers that are showing up. But a better way than isolating out different groups and punishing different groups is to actually pay those who are working. And I think we should do this. If we pass this legislation, this would never be a problem again. We're going to run into disagreements in the future. We're going to have times when the government shuts down. But there's no reason that we shouldn't be paying our government workers. So I ask that the senator modify his request so that instead of the Senate proceeding to the immediate consideration of calendar item 191, that S-3012, that the bill be considered read a third time and passed, and that the motion to consider be considered made and laid upon the table.
Mr. President.
Would the senator modify his request?
I will not, Mr. President.
So I see what Rand Paul is saying here, but I think he's wrong. Accountability is required here. And that's the only way we're going to get out of a shutdown in a good way. I see no reason why they shouldn't be on the same level as air traffic controlmen, for example. There's no reason one should get paid and the other shouldn't. And so if Rand Paul wants to vote on that bill that he's proposing, they need to first immediately vote to take their pay away. That's the only way those incentives are going to get there. We can't even have a conversation about anything else. We're taking our own pay away. I know it's probably never going to happen because they're not incentivized to do it. But maybe if Americans push against it enough, it would. Then, and that precedent has to be set moving forward. So next time a shutdown happens, that's already baked in because you got to get yourself on the same level. And then maybe in the future, you'll be incentivized to fund everyone else. And maybe that'll happen like hours later or days later. But the only way you get there is if you take away your pay originally. Here's the tricky thing with this whole shutdown. As I talked about on the show yesterday, nothing has changed in our lives. I mean, really nothing. The only thing that's changed is the salaries not going to those individual Americans who are working in the government. And I am not trying to gloss over that. That's important. If you just bring those back, nothing changes. No one feels anything. Also, this shutdown is the fault of Democrats, 100%. Every Republican, and the propaganda machine on this is crazy, but every Republican except one has voted to reopen the government at current spending levels. And Democrats have voted no in order to leverage different things that they want in adding to the spending. You need 60 votes. Democrats don't want to give those votes. Actually, two Democrats did go over. So I think we're at 54 or 55 to 45. You just need five more Democrats to switch and the government's funded. Again, all the Republicans are on board except one. But even if that one was on board, it wouldn't be enough. So whose fault would it be then? Obviously Democrats. And right now Republicans are talking about nuking the filibuster because that would only require a majority of 51. Horrible decision. Do not do that. Do not go against the Constitution. Do not allow Democrats in the future when they're in power to have that. Unfortunately, with all of that, many Americans still blame Republicans if you look at the numbers right now. And I think the election that we just had may also be an indication of that because propaganda exists. And so here is my proposal, because even though it sucks that it's not Republicans' fault, they have to deal with it. My proposal is this. Republicans must pass a law saying that starting now and in the future, Congress loses their paychecks during a shutdown. So that's baked in. And then Republicans try to pass a bill just to fund people's salaries, nothing else. We're not talking about the vast majority of the budget, just the salaries. If Dems don't do it and they want to vote against that, they lose the information war and you can rake them through the coals, right? Because now we're not talking about some sort of negotiation and all the propaganda they spew out. We're just voting on salaries. Do you want them to have their salaries or not? Democrats most likely will do it. If they don't, they get raked through the coals. If they do, then people get their salaries back and the rest of the shutdown can go on for as long as we want. Because as I said, nobody's feeling the difference. Like the shutdown's been going on for 37 days now. Cool, bring on 37 more. You think I care? You think I would rather Republicans fold right now and give Democrats the crazy funding for trans surgeries and the crazy funding for, it's essentially they're wanting to add USAID back in among other insane stuff. You can look it up. I may make a video breaking down all of it because it's some crazy, crazy stuff and Americans just don't know about it right now. But bring on 37 days more. Bring on infinite days more. This is how the government should be. Sure, the people should get their salaries who work in it. Other than that, we don't need to allocate budget funding for all this crazy, stupid stuff. Of course we don't. And then, of course, the economic consequences would just be phenomenal. So right now, the federal government, just a money laundering enterprise, really. They do nothing productive. All they do, and Americans need to understand this well, especially when it comes to the subsidies, when it comes to welfare. Basically, what the American government does, they take in a tax dollar. They give you 50 cents just goes into oblivion. It gets taken through different people, through corruption, through fraud, through inefficiency. And then, and they took that from you, that dollar, 50 cents goes away. And then they hand you 50 cents back and they call it a subsidy and act like it's helping your life when they, in fact, robbed 50 cents from you. Hey guys, I wanted to invite you to subscribe to my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your email and it's completely free to you. And I'm able to talk about what I wasn't able to get to on the show and frankly, get a little more blunt with you because big tech can't censor me there. So go check it out. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give the podcast a rating so people will find it there. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.